Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Replimmune, we had the pleasure of speaking with Anna C. Pavlik, BSN, MSc, DO, MBA, about the use of RP1 plus nivolumab for the treatment of patients with advanced melanoma. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Pavlik discussed the rationale for investigating this combination in patients with advanced melanoma who have received prior immune checkpoint inhibition, key efficacy and safety findings from the Phase 1-2 IGNITE trial, and where the future may be headed regarding the use of oncolytic viruses in melanoma.
To set the tone for our discussion, what are some of the current unmet needs for patients with advanced melanoma in 2025?
Patients in 2025 with metastatic melanoma have really good options, including immunotherapy and targeted therapies, as well as cellular therapies with TIL cell infusions now. However, that doesn't mean that 100% of patients are going to be cured from their metastatic disease. And so what happens when patients progress after immunotherapy or don't have a BRAF mutation or are not physically capable of undergoing a TIL cell process, because that takes a lot of planning. It also requires that patients are well to undergo lymphodepleting chemotherapy and then the process of high-dose IL-2 following their TIL infusion. So what do we do with that population of patients, which is probably a good 30 to 40% of our metastatic melanoma patients? And so that's where research comes in. And this is why our goal is still to continue to put patients onto research studies and to look for good options for those patients. Oncolytic agents are really kind of born from T-VEC. So they really look at using an attenuated herpes simplex virus backbone that's connected to GM-CSF. And GM-CSF is granulocyte and macrophage colony stimulating factors, hoping that we will trigger a better immune response. However, RP1 is different from T-VEC because although it's got that same backbone structure, it also expresses a fusogenic protein that will trigger a broader immune response and trigger cell death through immunogenic mechanisms.
Can you briefly describe the rationale and design for the IGNITE trial?
Sure. The IGNITE trial essentially was for patients who have tumors that are progressing through anti-PD-1 therapy with or without another agent like ipilimumab. These are patients who have also been treated with targeted therapy if they had a target. And so these are patients that we talked about in the beginning that really fall into that category of what do we do next? And so this was a clinical trial that we offered patients that would require a tumor to be injected with RP1, but they would also receive concurrent nivolumab or continue on PD-1 therapy. And so one of the prerequisites of the trial is that patients had to come onto this trial immediately after they were treated with immunotherapy. So, you know, their immune systems are primed, they're revved up, they get their tumors that then get injected with RP1, and they would then continue with anti-PD-1 therapy. The goal was really to not only look at the localized response of the tumors that were injected, but also to see if by injecting a local tumor, we could also generate a broader immune response and get distant tumors to respond as well.
What were some of the most recent efficacy findings presented from this data?
You know, this is a really exciting trial. This trial enrolled 156 patients, and keeping in mind that these are patients that really don't have any other options for treatment. And so they were enrolled onto a clinical trial, hoping that if they were progressing on immunotherapy, the addition of RP1 may actually improve or get them to respond again. And so what we saw was 31% of patients actually had a response. And that to us was very surprising because we were hoping to get some response, but this was a really nice, vigorous response. And of those 31%, 12% of those patients had complete responses, meaning their disease completely resolved, which again, we never expected to see. But the other nice thing was even if patients didn't have complete responses, they had partial responses or stable disease. Those responses were long-term, meaning that at 2 years, if you were a responder, you were probably still responding at 2 years. And when we look at a six-month time point, 100% of those patients who were responding were all responding at least 6 months, if not more. Our concern was that using an oncolytic virus, there may be toxicities that we saw with T-VEC, where some patients may, in fact, get fever or chills the evening after the tumor injection. But all the toxicities that we saw, considering they got intratumoral oncolytic virus injection in conjunction with immunotherapy, we really only saw grade 1 and grade 2 toxicities, which, again, was just, it made us happy because we weren't making patients sick, and we were seeing those responses without having to pay for it with a toxicity increase.
RP1 plus nivolumab, which is recently granted FDA priority review. So if this combination is approved, what would its sort of potential clinical significance be?
Well, it's such a nice option for patients. Again, looking at that 30 to 40% of patients whose tumors have progressed after immunotherapy and after targeted therapies, and the patients who are just not candidates to undergo TIL therapy now have an FDA-approved option that has a 30% response rate with minimal toxicity. So this is really, it's a game changer.
What is the importance of working with interventional radiologists and a multidisciplinary team when using RP1 in clinical practice?
For the RP1 trial, we were actually able to inject visceral tumors like lung mets or liver mets directly with RP1 with the assistance from our interventional radiology colleagues. And so knowing that it's a very safe virus to inject, it made it very easy for our interventional radiologists to want to participate and work with us. And we saw that for patients who didn't have easily accessible cutaneous lesions, injecting visceral lesions that were, again, easily accessible for the interventional radiologist was now an option for these patients to get treated.
What is your main message for colleagues regarding the future of oncolytic immunotherapies in melanoma?
I think the bottom line is that we still need to do clinical trials because we don't cure 100% of our patients yet. But advances and innovations with oncolytic virus in conjunction with different types of immunotherapy are really expanding our armamentarium to treat metastatic melanoma. And so, you know, we need to keep looking, but we also need to embrace those therapies that are being FDA approved or considered for approval because they allow patients great quality of life, minimal toxicity with significant responses. And I think that, you know, as we continue to do research, our goal is always to improve quality of life, extend patient survival, and not inflict them with a new toxicity that is going to compromise their quality of life.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Replimune. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.